Good morning. My name is Leslie Morrison, and I have been a member here at Belle Isle Community Church for 18 years, and I am also the director of Belle Isle Christian Preschool. I've been in early childhood education for over 32 years, and 20 of those 32 years I've been a director. And in that time, I've taught three-year-olds all the way through second grade, and I've been in faith-based and secular and public and you name it, I've kind of been there. My red chair story today is more of a challenge to teachers, but it's also really for all of us. You see, during the times that I served as a teacher or an administrator in secular or public school, my faith couldn't be shared out loud. In other words, I couldn't sit there and pray with a student. I couldn't sing Bible songs. I couldn't tell them what Christmas and Easter was really about. But it's when I found myself having to pray that much more silently over these students and just sharing my faith in how I lived my life. And I had to be ready to speak when a co-teacher who didn't care anything about Jesus suddenly asked about your faith walk and who Jesus was. But even in working in Christian education, we have children and families and sometimes even staff that really don't know who Jesus is. And we still have to be there to shine Jesus in their life. You see, way back when I first became a director over 20 years ago in Jacksonville, Florida at another Methodist church, I had one of those families that didn't know who Jesus was. But they were part of our school. And Dad made it quite clear within the first week or two of school starting that he really didn't appreciate how his child was coming home and singing songs about Jesus, praying at the dinner table, and telling Bible stories. I calmly explained to him that I wasn't going to apologize that Jesus was in our classroom, as that was part of our mission, but I also explained to him that there's a whole lot of other things going on. And Dad said, but I didn't sign him up for Sunday school. They kept them in the program. And the next year, the mom comes to me and asks how she can get more involved in the school. She'd been a teacher in her life before kids and wanted to get back into it. I hired her as a substitute teacher because, see, that way she got to see Jesus anytime she was there, and she got to see what went on in the classroom. The next year, she became a teacher, a full-time teacher. Now, she had to learn those Bible stories just like the children do. She had to go to chapel. She became friends with our staff, and we took her in as one of our own and loved on her and became that other mentor and person in her life. I ended up moving away from Jacksonville, came here to Orlando, but within a year or so after I left, that family started going to church, and they accepted Christ. And they became an active part of that congregation and very much involved in children's ministry. Now, I didn't have anything to do with that. I just planted a seed because God told me to. And that's my challenge to you. That neighbor that lives next door, those people that work with you, teachers, all those children in your class, and the colleagues that are working next door to you, in your classrooms, were put there for such a time as this. You just need to plant the seed. God doesn't expect you to do anything else. Everything else happens through Him. So just plant the seed, and God will take care of the rest. And that's my red chair story.
Beautiful. Thank you, Leslie. That was fantastic. I love the red chair stories. By the way, she's doing an amazing job. We had a parent-teacher day on, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday, and wow, that campus over there looks amazing. And the teachers and the families are all so happy. She's doing a really good job. So let's give Leslie a round of applause and let her know we love her today. All right, let's talk for a couple minutes. This is my story. We're going to look in the Old Testament today, and we are looking at men and women in the Bible, just like Leslie, who have a story. I want to remind you today that you don't get a book or a movie. You don't get a chapter. Many times, all you get is one sentence, a few words to define your life and tell people who you are and what your gift is. And in this case, we're going to look at an Old Testament figure and story and name and character, and we're going to talk today about being aware and being alert, and not only knowing what's going on around you, but knowing what to do. Okay, so I've got some famous quotes up here. We're going to look up there. Look at the screen. You're going to see some quotes. You got it in your notes. If you're with me this morning, let me hear an amen. Amen. Someone said, observing is the basis of wisdom. First quote, observing is the basis of wisdom. Observing is the basis of wisdom. Yogi Berra, the great theologian, said you can observe a lot by just watching. To acquire knowledge, one must study, but to acquire wisdom, one must observe. Robert Powell says, if you make listening and observation your occupation, you gain much more than you can by talking. Mediocrity can talk, but it is for genius to observe. We're talking today about just being alert, about being aware, about having an understanding of what's going on around you, what God is doing, and not only to have an awareness of what's going on, but the ability to follow it up with action. And the name we're looking at, the character we're looking at, is a guy by the name of Issachar. It's found in the Old Testament. And Issachar gets one sentence to define his life. And here it is. And Issachar in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And Issachar, men, and I would say women, who understood the times and knew what to do. That was it. Issachar was a man, a tribe, who understood the times, who was observing. They were watching. They were sensitive. They were alert. They were in tune with what was going on around them. But most importantly, watch this, they knew what to do. Church, let me have your eyes and ears just for a moment. It's one thing just to have knowledge. It's another thing to apply that knowledge. See, someone once says, knowledge is power. And I would really disagree with that. Knowledge is not power. Applied knowledge is power. And when you, like Issachar, have an understanding of what is going on around you, and you have the ability to know what to do, you are valuable. In this tribe, there was only 300. Issachar was part of the 12 tribes. And we don't have time to get into it, but if you look in 1 Chronicles, you'll see all the tribes of Israel listed, and it had their name, and it had their gifting, and it had the number of people in their tribe. Issachar was the smallest of the tribes. They only had 300 people in their tribe. But you give me people, watch this, who are alert and in tune and sensitive and know what to do, and you don't need that many people to be victorious. And that was the sons of Issachar, men and women who know an understanding of what was going on and knew what to do. It's interesting. I love this. Issachar, his name means reward. You will be rewarded if you know what's going on around you and you know what to do. There is a great reward for people who are in tune and alert with what's happening around them and know what to do. And I want to remind you today that God is a rewarder. God wants to reward you, and you and I will be rewarded when we understand what's going on around us and we know what to do. One of the greatest things you can possess is a knowledge of knowing that God wants to reward you today. Can I get an amen? Now, let me just give you a couple scriptures, because some of you are up there right now, and you're thinking that God, all he does is punish. Or God is always mad at me. And God is always trying to get me to do things I don't want to do. But I want you to have an understanding today that you serve a God who wants to reward you. And when you have that mentality, then you begin to understand that God wants to reward you for having an awareness of what's happening and knowing what to do in life. Let me give you a couple scriptures real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will, what? Reward you. Hebrews 11, 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7, but as for you, be strong and do not give up your work, for you will be rewarded. So there is a reward by you having an understanding of what's going on in your life and knowing what to do. Tammy is on this kick right now, and it's really, I'm going to just expose my wife just for a second here and just talk about her, and it could be a long week after this illustration. I'm taking a risk. She's got this app on her phone. It's called Fetch. And I'll say, she got Austin to do it too, so now Tammy and Austin do it, and it is a little, it's an app on her phone, and every time we purchase something, she takes a picture of that. And by doing that, she gets rewarded. And so we'll go to McDonald's for a hamburger, and the first thing she does before she eats is she gets her phone out and she snaps a picture of the receipt. Why? Because she wants to get rewarded. I think we're all like Tammy and Austin a little bit, aren't we? We like to get rewards. You get credit cards that reward you for purchases. You go to restaurants that give you rewards for how many times you attend. And the sons of Issachar, watch this, his name means rewarded, because he was rewarded by God for having an awareness of what was happening in his life and his family and his church and his community. But just not having knowledge, he had the ability to apply that knowledge and know what to do. Can I challenge you here today, moms? Your kids are hoping that you have an understanding of what's going on, and most importantly, you know what to do. If you're a business leader here today, your company is counting on you to have an awareness of what's going on, but most importantly, to know what to do about it. And I believe God is raising up men and women that have the spirit of Issachar, that they're going to be rewarded for being aware of what's going on and knowing what to do. Can I get an amen? So if you want to get rewarded, see Tammy. She'll give you the app, and you can start taking pictures of all your receipts. All right, number one, here it is. I'm going to give you four real quick. We got to go. How to live a life that is rewarded. How many of you, by the way, want to be rewarded? You want to live a life that you get rewarded. All right, six of you. How many are here today, and you want to be rewarded? Amen. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Number one, you will be rewarded if you understand and you are alert to the seasons of life. You will be rewarded if you have an understanding of the seasons of life. Genesis 8:22 says this, as long as their earth endures, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day and night will never cease. Everyone say seasons. Ecclesiastes says this, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity in heaven. Now watch this. One of the greatest things I learned as a young man was to be alert to the seasons of life. Just as in the natural, there are seasons. Thank God fall is coming. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank God winter's on the way. I love October. I love that season. But just as in the natural, there are seasons. There is spring, summer, fall, and winter. In your life, there are seasons that God brings you through. And you, as a believer, as a disciple, you have to be alert to what season you're in. And when you do, it gives you an understanding of what's going on, or maybe why you're feeling the way you're feeling, or what God is doing. It's because you are in a season. And if you will learn the key to recognizing seasons, it will help you navigate walking through life. I've taught this to you for years now. Psalm 23 is a beautiful example of the good shepherd, watch this, leading the sheep through seasons of life. It starts with green pastures, it goes to still waters, it goes to the valley, and then it goes to the table in the presence of my enemies. Four seasons that the good shepherd walks you through, and if you have a keen awareness of what he is doing, it will help you to navigate this thing called life. In the physical, there is growing, there's pruning, there's harvest, and there's wilderness. And if you're going to be rewarded, you've got to understand the seasons of life. Mark, come on up here. Let me just illustrate this just for a moment. If you're with me, let me hear an amen. Amen. Come on, Mark. All right. Mark is representing you. And I'm going to be the good shepherd. And watch this. All Mark has to do is follow the good shepherd and trust in him and know that the good shepherd is going to lead him into every season, and all he has to do is follow me and be aware of what God is doing. So it starts out in the green pastures. And the green pastures is a wonderful time, and it's enjoyable, but you can't stay there forever because God wants you to develop, he wants you to grow, and you need all four seasons to become fully developed disciple of Jesus Christ. You can't stay in green pastures. So watch this. The great shepherd begins to lead him into a new season. He says to Mark, Mark, I know you want to stay here. I know life is good. I know you're enjoying this, but I want to develop you and I want to grow you and I want to mature you. So I'm going to bring you to another season. And the shepherd begins to move on. What is happening? A new season. You did very good, Mark. Good job. A new season is happening. And he's got to understand that as he follows me. You can't hope that you could stay in green pastures all your life. You will never be mature if you stay in one season the rest of your life. You've got to go and follow the shepherd and allow the seasons of life to develop you. So God takes Mark from green pastures. He moves him to still waters. Still waters is different than green pastures. It's a different atmosphere. Different things are going on, but Mark has to understand what God is doing, and as he follows the good shepherd, he is developed into a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, some of you are in a season right now, and you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand why you're feeling the way you feel. You don't understand what's happening with you, and you just got to clearly recognize and be like the sons of Issachar. They understood the times, and they knew what to do. So God takes us from green pastures to still waters, and then he takes them to the valley. How many have ever been in the valley? Tough times. Darkness. Confusion. Depression. Hopelessness. That's the only time where the good shepherd speaks to you and I and says, I'm with you. And here's the message. Mark, this is not going to be forever. Mark, you've got to trust me in this season. You stay right here. You loved me when things were good. You loved me when all the bills were paid and you didn't have any issues. And I brought you and I developed you and I matured you. And there was a process going on in your life. And I took you from green pastures to still waters. And I was doing this to prepare you for this new season that you're in. You're in the valley and you are not alone. I'm with you. I'm with you. And this season that you're in is not going to last forever. Trust me. Stay with me. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't abandon me. Don't stop worshiping. I'm with you in the darkest of valley, and if you'll stay with me, I'll bring you to a place of victory. And then God leads him from the valley to the place where he's at a table in the presence of his enemies. Wow. And your mandate from God is to understand, follow me, Mark, what season you're in. And only you can do that. I can tell you this, every season doesn't last forever. And I can tell you this as well. Your attitude in that season determines if you're going to move forward. Especially in the wilderness. You cop an attitude, you get grumpy, you complain, you prolong that season because of your attitude. See, everybody wants to be at the table in the presence of my enemies. Everybody wants to be at that place of victory. But you, good job, Mark. You can't be victorious in the presence of your enemies if you haven't been faithful in the wilderness. And it's in the wilderness where your attitude is tested. And you want to give up, and you get frustrated, and you get impatient, and you wonder what's going on. You're not crazy. You're just in a season called the wilderness, the valley. And if you hang on long enough, there will be a victory if your attitude is adjusted. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And one of the keys to life is understanding the season that you're in, so that you can navigate and you can follow the good shepherd. You don't have to get frustrated or upset or wanting another season. Let what's supposed to develop, let it develop in your heart and life during that season, and allow God to move you on from one season to the next. Issachar, thank you, Mark. You did a good job. This guy makes great subs, and he's a good helper. Thank you, Mark. Issachar was rewarded because he knew where God was leading him and what season he was in. If I were you, I would identify, like today, what season you're in. Green pastures, man, life is good, bills are paid, kids are getting along, you got the president that you wanted. Green pastures are fun, but green pastures will not develop you into the person that God wants you to be. And he'll not leave you there forever. He'll take you from the green pastures to still waters, to the valley, and then in the table of the presence of my enemies. Are y'all with me? If I were you, I would be in tune with the seasons of life, because God says they're going to be around forever. You don't ever have to worry. Are y'all with me? And Austin is reminding me this every single day. Austin every day tells me, Dad, 32 days till college football starts. I love it. I'm with him. He's given me hope. Watch this. That I don't have to watch ice skating on Saturday afternoons for very long. Why? Because there's going to be a new season. Fall's coming. Let it happen. Stay in tune. Knowing that gives you hope to look forward to, knowing that God is not going to leave you in the place you are right now. And some of you are doing really, really good. Man, you got money, blessings, everything you touch is just blessed, prosperous. You're doing really good. I got news for you. No season lasts forever. Enjoy it now while you can, because there will be a moment where you will go from total bliss. God is good. God is answering my prayers. Everything you touch is wonderful. To God, what in the world is going on? Well, you didn't do anything bad necessarily. It's just that the good shepherd's taking you in a different season. And you need to be aware of that so you can follow him with skill and excellence. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, number two, real quickly. You will be rewarded if you are aware of the enemy's schemes. See, you need to know two things. We need to know God's character, and we need to know what the enemy's strategy is. Now listen, don't get mad at me for talking about the enemy, because the enemy is throughout the scripture, mostly in the New Testament. Over 39 times the enemy, Satan, the devil, is mentioned. And he has a strategy, and he's out to get you. And if you are aware of his schemes, if you are aware of his plans, how many know we are in a battle? If you don't believe we're in a battle, why would God give you the armor? We're in a battle. And you and I need to know two things. Who is God? What is his character? And number two, what is the strategy of the enemy? And when you know those things, you'll be rewarded. You need to know a little bit more about your enemy, because it will help you to fight the fight of faith. Look, there's a couple scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. That word there means strategies. He's got a game plan. How many people like football? How many know you can't win a football game, Max, if you don't have a strategy, a plan of attack, a way you're going to do things? Well, the enemy is just like that. And when you are aware of what the enemy's doing, it helps you to be prepared to fight against him. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be alert. Everyone say alert.
Alert.
And sober. Everyone say sober.
Sober.
That's an interesting word. Sober. How many know that the government doesn't want you to get behind the wheel if you're not sober? Why? Because you make really silly decisions when you're not sober. You get in trouble when you're not sober. I see on TV so many times people getting in trouble after midnight. Look at Cincinnati, what happened just this week. A couple weeks ago, it was a lady in Wisconsin. She was at a bar, walked home alone, and as soon as the reporter said this, I was like, oh, there you go. 3:30 in the morning, she ends up in the river and she passes away. See, bad things happen when you're not sober. If I were you, are y'all with me this morning? Don't walk through life unsober, thinking that there's no enemy, thinking that, you know, all this talk about the devil and his strategy is all a bunch of crazy stuff, you're getting carried away, we're Methodists, we don't believe in that. No. John Wesley believed, knew the power of the enemy, and he walked around and Peter says, be alert, watch this, be sober. Don't walk through life tipsy, buzzed, drunk. Because when you do, it'll get you in trouble. That's why the writer says, be alert. Everyone say alert.
Alert.
Be sober. Have an awareness of what's going on. Know what season you're in. Know where the good shepherd is leaving you. Don't walk around buzzed. Be alert. Be sober. Have a sober mind. Say, God, as you're walking me through this season, help me to understand what's going on. And most importantly, Lord, help me to know what to do. I'm not telling you not to drink wine. That's between you and the Lord. But some of us, perhaps, could be walking through life and you're unsober. Be careful. Be alert. The Bible says that for the enemy, are y'all with me? Be alert and sober. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you want to get rewarded, be aware of the enemy's schemes. Number two. Number three, you still with me? Two more, real quick. Number three, you will be rewarded if you open your ears and hear what God is saying. God wants to speak. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Matthew 4:4, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Church, look at me just for a moment real quick. God wants to speak to you and guide you and be your counselor and be your guide. You've got to open your ears to listen, so as he's navigating you through life, you are hearing what he's saying and you have an understanding of what season you're in and you know what to do. Be still and allow God to speak. He wants to speak to you. So yesterday, it was hot. In my house, it was 198 degrees at my house. So Tammy and I got in the pool, And I bought these floaties for the grandkids, and I'm discovering that those floaties are for me. And I don't need just one floaty, I need two floaties. One for my legs and one for my upper body, and it helps you just to float in the pool. So we're in the pool, and it just so happens that our neighbors are undergoing some construction on Saturday. Can you believe it? Nails and hammers and saws and compressors. It was noisy. I was like, I can't believe this. We're having just a few moments here of just in the pool, relaxing. I got my floaties, and I'm getting frustrated because of the noise next door. And then I did something that was life-changing. I put my head and my ears underwater. And in an instant, the noise of the world was gone. I couldn't even hear Tammy. I mean, it was fantastic. It was like all the noise was gone, and suddenly, I'm peaceful. There's no noise. Let me remind you today something, church. The world is really loud, and it's noisy. And if you're not careful, you'll walk through life angry at the noise of the world, but yet you're in control of positioning yourself to get in a place where you can be still so that God can speak to you. Whatever issue you're dealing with, God wants to speak to you about that. And if you will develop an ear to hear, you will be rewarded. And life will be better because you're following the Good Shepherd and you hear his voice. If I were you, if you have a pool, I'd go home today and stick your ears underwater. Don't do it too long. But long enough just to go, whew. It's loud out there. A lot of distractions, a lot of noise. I need to be still. Lisa sang about that. I need to be still. And God, I need you to speak to me because I want to be like Issachar. I want to understand the times and I want to know what to do. And you can only do that when you hear the voice of God. Can I get an amen? Bruce, go to the keyboard. Number four, real quick, we're going to close. You want to be rewarded? You want to be rewarded, Mark? Understand what God's saying and let him speak to you and hear you. And then number four here is you'll be rewarded if you turn your knowledge into action. Everyone say action. John 13:17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? If you do them. Everyone say do. If you want to be like Issachar, and you want to understand what God is doing, you will be rewarded when you turn your knowledge into action. Now listen, knowledge is not good enough. Applied knowledge is what will give you victory. What we talk about here on Sunday mornings, you're not going to be able to take it all, but just take one aspect of it and apply it. You can't just, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. We got to be people who receive knowledge and then put our knowledge into practice. And that's what the sons of Issachar did. They understood the seasons and they knew what to do. I don't have time today, but I've listed 10 traps that will keep you from being a person that does what you know to do. I put 7, but I came up with 3 more. That's a BOGO. That's a Publix, buy one, get 3 free. 7 traps, real quickly. Here it is. And then we're going to close. 7 traps that will keep you from doing what you know to do. Number one, the fear trap. I'm afraid. Number two, the insecurity trap. I'm not confident. Number three, the failure trap. I messed up. Number four, the procrastination trap. I'll do it later. Number five, the avoidance trap. I'll focus on something else. The complacency trap. I don't need to do that. The doubt trap, I don't have faith for that. Here's the 3 new ones that are not on the screen. Number, I call this the yield trap. The yield trap. And that is, I'll yield to someone else and let them do it. The paralysis trap. I'll think about it. And the complacency trap, I'm too comfortable. See, here, look here. I bought this on Amazon for $22 this week. I'm going to use it real quick. This is a trap. You be very careful. Because if I put this in your hands and you touch that little thing, I'm not going to do it because I don't want this thing to snap on me. But if you get caught and you touch that little thing right there, this thing will snap your finger off and it will keep you from doing and accomplishing all that God wants you to do. Could it be today that you're in a trap? Oh, just let someone else do it. Oh, I'm afraid. I made mistakes and I don't want to. Whatever trap you're in, the enemy would love to keep you in this trap right here. He would love to keep you, watch this, from doing what you know to do. The sons of Issachar understood the times and they knew what to do. Don't get trapped and do what you know to do. So, be careful that, honey, don't touch that. I've got 4 children, 2 wonderful boys and 2 beautiful girls. My girls are especially good at this when they were younger. They would come up to me and they wanted something. And they would come up to me and they would say, Daddy, they'd sit in my lap, Daddy, I love you. The guys never did that. And that's why they never got anything. It was the girls that would come to me and crawl in my lap and they would say, Daddy, I love you. And I learned the greatest comeback when they would say that to me. And it's all in the Bible. They'd say, Daddy, I love you. And I would say to them, if you love me, do my commandments. John 15:14. If I was a parent, I would memorize that scripture. Daddy, I love you. Oh, you do? You love me? Oh, okay. If you love me, then do what I tell you to do. Now watch this. We come on Sunday morning, and we worship. We say, Dad, I love you. And he says back to us, well, if you love me, don't get caught in a trap. Obey my commandments. Turn your knowledge into action. Just don't talk about it. Do it. And the reason that the sons of Issachar lived a rewarded life, watch this. They did not accumulate knowledge. They used knowledge, but they applied that knowledge. And they're listed in the Old Testament as men and women who understood the times and they knew what to do. I don't want you to live your life in a trap. I want you to live a life of blessing and a life that gets rewards because you not only love him, but you do what he commands you to do. Would you stand up across the auditorium? We're gonna pray here today. What season are you in? Where's the good shepherd leading you? Whatever season you're in, understand it. It's not going to last forever. There's going to be another season coming. Follow him. And even in the darkest of times, he'll promise to be with you today. If you're here today and you're in the wilderness and it's cold and it's wet, and it's snowy, and you feel like God's abandoned you, and you feel isolated, and you feel alone, God says today, I'm with you. Trust me. Follow me. I'm going to lead you into a place of victory if you keep your attitude in line with my word. Trust me. So let's pray today that God would help us today. Be like Issachar. We understand the times, and we know what we are to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a beautiful shepherd who's guiding and leading us today. I pray that we will be alert and aware. God, we'll be sober as we walk through life, as we follow you, that you will lead us into the season that you prepared for us, and you'll give us an attitude that honors you. I pray for our teachers today as they go. I pray they'll go with sober mind and they'll go leading our children. Pray for every person here today, God, as they follow you, that you'll give them the ability to be like Issachar, to understand the times and know what to do. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Have a great week. Go and sin no more. We'll see you.